we had fun. We, you know, Andy filled in for you last week. He kind of stole the show from me. He was fantastic. I need to do, you and Andy need to get on more, you know.
He did so amazing. And as I said in the intro, so grateful that he came on the show. And I thought it's just super cool to have, you know, two providers talking the way that you guys did. It was a really cool back and forth. So anyone who's with us today and hasn't watched or listened to the show last week, make sure you do that. It's on the Outside the Box podcast now. It went up today, which was last week's live Q&A. So check that out if you haven't. Really, really cool discussions. But we got a busy show today. We got so many questions that came in.
All right.
So we're going to get to it. Motaz, I'm happy to be back, man. Thank you for hanging out with us this week. Rita, I see you. Carol, I see you. I do think, I'll put this up real quick. I do believe they're all in stock. Katie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and we'll let you know. But I'm almost certain that all the Dr. Rogers formulas are in stock, low in stress relief, it seems. So we're running low in the stress relief formula, but everything else is good. Before we get to the show, I want to just say I miss you, Steve. I got to catch up with you yesterday. It was so good to hear your voice. So thank you for hanging out with us again this evening, Steve. See, my grandmother's in here. Grandma Mary, what's up? Shout out to everybody at the Blake. Let's get to some questions here because a lot of good ones came over email and Instagram. Thank you guys for always sending those in early. It really helps the get the show going. If you're a regular on the Q&A show, go ahead and put questions in the comments. You know to do this. We do live Q&A in the latter portion of the show, and we get to every single question. So go ahead and put in your question for Doc. So we kind of know where to go here. All right, let's start with a couple of, or a question about migraines. Question is, what supplements or dietary changes do you recommend for treatment of chronic migraines? I'm 45 in the perimenopausal stage with a family history of migraines. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, women are more affected than men by migraine headaches, for sure. And you know, so many different causes for migraines. We try to find out the root cause of everything. And migraines are tough. I mean, it could be food related. It could be hormonal. Mostly in women, it's more hormonal, I think. And usually you start having migraines if you're a woman in late teenage years, early 20s maybe. A lot of times it's due to lack of progesterone. So a lot of times we'll just use progesterone and it really helps, migraines. You definitely need to get your hormone levels checked. You're probably at your age, estrogen dominant, in dire need of progesterone, bioidentical progesterone. Dietary changes, see if there's certain triggers because there can be, you know, you might even want to go on a carnivore type diet and add things back. You may want to get, you know, like something like a Dunwoody food allergy test, which may help you look at some delayed food sensitivities that we work with. You may have to go on an elimination diet to see if something triggers it. But they do tend to run in families. Sometimes they're hormonal. Stress can even cause them. Stress can cause anything. There's so many treatments for it. Gosh, you know, if you ever talk to Katie, she has migraines and you know, pretty severe migraines. And I'm hoping that I don't think she'll mind me telling you this, but Botox is sometimes a last ditch effort to control migraines. And I hope that works for her. The neurologists do this and they put quite a bit of Botox through your head, temporal area, in your traps and your neck and your lower face. It's a lot of Botox.
Yep.
But there's also a once a month shot called Emgality that's supposed to cut down on them. There's a couple new drugs that we treat that's kind of a new and improved medicine. Yeah, I like to see how that works when it kicks in, Katie, on you. But you know, we used to use a lot of triptans, which when they came out over 30 years ago, that to me they were a miracle drug, because before then we had to give people Demerol, get somebody to drive them home. And then the triptans came out, and they really were revolutionary in getting rid of them without sedation. And Imitrex, Maxalt, that class of drugs. But now we have a new class of drugs in the last couple of years, Ubrelvy and Nurtec. And there's even some daily medications you can take orally. So there's a lot of hope for migraine headaches. The dietary thing can be different for everybody. Stay away from artificial sweeteners, of course. But, you know, there's a lot of little supplements you could try, like curcumin and any kind of anti-inflammatory. Lack of sleep can cause migraines. Sometimes they're hormonal, depending on what time of the month they occur. So get your hormones checked, do an elimination diet. Hopefully you've tried some of these new medications. We have samples in the office we can give you to see if it helps. But migraines can be debilitating. A lot of women are very happy they go through menopause and get finished with it, because their migraines tend to get better. Mm. You don't have the fluctuations in hormones. But yeah, migraines are tough, need to be sorted through.
Truly is super debilitating. So hopefully that helped. And Katie's going to keep us posted with her progress. It seems she's on day two. So thank you, Katie, for putting that up there. I want to put this up because I mean, this always just makes me smile. And what an awesome way to start the show, Jordan. Thank you for putting this in here. 70 pounds down with Ozempic. We just want to, congratulate you. That is so cool, so encouraging. Thank you for putting that in here for all the people that are live with us tonight. Hopefully this offers some encouragement. That's super cool. Thank you, Jordan.
You know what they're finding out, Ben, is with, I read something this weekend about it, with gastric bypass patients or the sleeve surgery to cut down the size of your stomach. Those patients need to be on Ozempic or mm-hmm. Mounjaro or one of those, Wegovy, as maintenance, because they'll gain the weight back a lot of times even after the surgery. So they're finding the combination works really well too. And plus it's approved for kids 12 and up if they're obese. So, you know, like I've said many times, and you can look at some of the podcasts, that class of drugs, are the drugs, in my opinion, of the century over any drug of this century. There's so many great things that can happen with those drugs. But
super cool, Jordan. Thank you for putting that in there. Congratulations. That's amazing. Amazing. All right, let's get to this one here on serrapeptase. What do you think about using serrapeptase for inflammation? New studies have shown it to be promising but possible side effects. Remind me, what is serrapeptase?
It's a supplement that I think it comes from maybe the silkworm. I'm pretty sure it comes from the silkworm. Mm. But it is a really good anti-inflammatory. They use it in European countries, I think even as a prescription medicine. Here you can get it over the counter. But it's a pretty good anti-inflammatory. And it's also a pretty good mucolytic. It kind of breaks down proteins and thereby reducing inflammation. And sometimes it even helps your antibiotics work better, because it kind of breaks down the biofilm that some of these bacteria have on it and allows the antibiotics to work better. So it's a really good supplement. You got to be a little careful with it. You don't want to use it with blood thinners. It can act kind of as a natural blood thinner too. So if you're taking, you know, some of the blood thinners, you got to watch it, like Coumadin or Eliquis or Brilinta, some of those. You can definitely prolong those bleeding times. But it's a really good supplement for a lot of things. You know, it definitely helps inflammation. Mm. May even help allergies. Some people think it's good for your gut. I mean, side effects, like I say, the increase in bleeding time, bruising, interaction with blood thinners. But I just think it's really well tolerated and it's very safe otherwise. I don't think I see a lot of side effects from it, but very good medicine. We used to recommend a lot of it during COVID.
Serrapeptase, super interesting. Thank you for that question. Great answer there, Doc. I'm going to put this up. This was this is one that came over on email. Really common question for us. What are optimal levels for testosterone, estradiol, and progesterone for a female in her early 40s? If I remember correctly, I know you talk a lot about the ratios. So kind of what's your thoughts with this question?
Yeah. You know, first of all, there's really no normal for these. The lab may say the normal ranges, but you can throw that out the window. There's no normal. You know, you go clinically, you certainly want to have estradiol and progesterone. Again, these are bioidentical hormones that we're using, meaning they come from plants, not pregnant horse urine. But and the testosterone comes from yams, as the other stuff does as well. But, you know, it just depends. A lot of women like their testosterone 80 to 100. Some that really work out hard and trying to build muscle like it higher, 150, sometimes a little higher than that. Estradiol levels, a lot of it depends on the progesterone level, but mostly 60, 80 in that range, progesterone 2 or higher, you know, that ratio of estrogen progesterone needs to be about maybe, you know, like 8 to 1 maybe, but, you know, they kind of counterbalance each other a lot. So especially if you have a uterus, you got to use enough progesterone so that you don't thicken up the endometrial lining too much. That's why if you don't get it high enough, you'll have bleeding. So everybody kind of absorbs it differently. You know, so that's about right. So if you listen to that, progesterone 2, estrogen 80, testosterone 80 to 100. And go by clinical symptoms. Your progesterone, if you're in early 40s, your progesterone is probably dropping out and you're probably estrogen dominant. So you need, you may need a higher dose of progesterone because if you get estrogen dominant, you start having fibrocystic breast, uterine fibroids, heavy bleeding sometimes. So you got that progesterone is so important.
When you say clinically, does that just mean, that just means symptoms that's unique
symptoms
to you?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that question. Let's get to this one right here. My genotypes indicate that I'm at risk for hypothyroidism, which I have an IBD. And I'm assuming that's IBSD, but you can correct me if I'm wrong there, Doc. What does Dr. Rogers have to say about taking CMOS? And what's the dosage? What's your thoughts?
They probably mean inflammatory bowel disease from that.
Okay.
If it was IBSD, that'd be irritable bowel syndrome,
okay,
diarrhea predominant. So inflammatory bowel disease, which is another autoimmune disease, and your hypothyroidism may be Hashimoto's, probably is. Check your antibody levels. So you've got some autoimmune issues, and certainly most autoimmune diseases originate in your gut. So you need to look at your diet, you know, definitely gluten-free, dairy-free, maybe supplement with selenium and zinc. The CMOS, which is kind of interesting that you asked that, it's kind of a cousin of seaweed. And those are good. I call them vegetables from the sea. So, you know, you can even get them in capsule forms. You don't have to eat the moss. Some people do, but they come in gels and things like that. But, you know, there's a lot of, you got to be careful with it a little bit. They're definitely good. I mean, they really do help a lot of things. They they have iodine in them, as well as just a bunch of nutrients. So if you have Graves' disease or you have an iodine overload, you want to be careful about taking too much. Taking a normal dose, which I think, it's been a while since I don't take it. And I think it's 10 milligram, maybe a couple times a day. Don't quote me on that. But look on the recommended dose. You can get them at probably a good vitamin store. We don't carry them, but, you know, it may even have some beneficial effects for your microbiome as well.
Hmm.
You know, acting almost like a prebiotic nutrition for the probiotics, but, I think you should probably try it. Just don't overdo it. You can even check your iodine levels through a salivary test to see if you're deficient, which most people are, probably 80% of people. And inflammatory bowel disease may help a little bit. That's a whole nother subject. When you say that, you usually think in Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, but even like microscopic colitis, like I talked about a few weeks ago on one of the podcasts.
Hmm.
So you can certainly try it. I don't think it's going to hurt you unless you really overdid it with too much iodine. And don't quote me on the dose. So you might want to look that up. But,
super interesting. Super interesting. Thank you for that question there. We're going to keep moving. And as I mentioned earlier, guys, if you have a question for Doc, we're going to get to live comments or live questions here in a minute. Go ahead and put those in the comment section. I'm going to put this up here. This is a good question. Who would be your Knoxville area person that could help an 85-year-old, super healthy, no prescription medicines with their supplements, preferably less expensive, still not? This is a really good question. What's your initial thoughts on this one here, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, you might want to see Margo.
Yeah.
A PA in Fountain City. He's really knowledgeable about supplements and health in general. You know, she's really good with diet and exercise. And I'm glad you're 85 and doing well. You're super healthy, which is awesome. No prescription medicines. That's really good to hear. That's my goal. But you know, you're probably going to live over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And you want to stay that way. So you probably, what I would do is go in there and get the Cleveland Heart Panel, look at some of your vitamin levels. It's so good. It gives a good fatty acid analysis, you know, and that kind of guides us with a lot of your vitamin levels as well. But see Margo in the Fountain City office. She really, really takes an interest. She'll spend a lot of time with you. And it's very affordable.
And one thing I'll say, maybe Katie can put it in here in the comments. I, you know, 85 on Medicare. I think it's the Cleveland Heart Panel is a really good deal for anyone on Medicare.
It's covered. It's covered by
fully
Medicare.
Covered.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
I'm on Medicare, and this covers it twice a year. And I'm just on plain Medicare.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So that's also something that. That this healthy, amazing 85-year-old should consider, as you said, and that can kind of, you know, guide you along with the supplements. It's really cool, though, you know, trying to manage the supplements versus the prescription meds. That's awesome. All right, let's move on here. Let's see here, sourdough. I see it. There we go. I know you say sourdough bread is the healthiest bread option. Please explain why. Is it the glycemic index or what? This is a great question. We talk a lot about how sourdough is, you know, easier to digest. Is it that you talk a lot about sourdough?
I like sourdough bread. Number one, I love the taste of it. You know, Steve even has me making my own now.
Yep.
And it's just, you're right. It's fermented. So it's already kind of digested for you. So, you know, even though it's not gluten-free, I think there are some that you can get gluten-free, but most of them are not. Again, it's best to make your own, but, you know, it's got basic ingredients in it. And it seems like if you're celiac, you probably don't want it because it's not totally gluten-free, but because it's fermented, it's a lot easier to digest. Like for me, I'm definitely lactose intolerant, and most of us guys like me are also gluten sensitive. Most Americans are anyway, but I can tolerate it for sure. You know, it digests real easily. It tastes good. It is lower on the glycemic index, for sure. It's great. Yeah, because it's hard to avoid breads altogether. But it's definitely my favorite out of all. And if you can get it homemade, even better. You know, because if you buy it in the store, just look at the ingredients on it. Yep. Sometimes it can be kind of lengthy. You know, but for that's the reason, better tolerated with your gut, already kind of digested. Good for people with gluten sensitivities, but not celiac. Less likely to pop your sugar up. I've worn a, you know, Freestyle Libre, and it didn't raise my sugar levels.
Really? Not at all?
No. When wheat bread just really popped it up. I ran that experiment on myself, and really interesting. So I like sourdough bread.
Super
you
cool.
I wish I could go keto, or a lot of people could stay in keto, but it's very hard.
This question is similar or along those lines with sourdough bread. What's a typical daily meal plan look like for you start to finish? We've gotten a couple different questions around this. So what's your day, day of eating look like on a typical day? And maybe start with what you've had today.
The first thing I do, I get up early. I head straight to McDonald's and get their McMuffin, and I pour a little syrup on it, and then I get a sweet tea.
I head to Pal's. I hope you have a good sense of humor. I get some Cheddar Rounds.
Yeah, Cheddar Rounds, and then my mid-morning snack. I send somebody out for a small Pal's burger.
Yep,
there's many. So I'm kidding. I hope that's funny to you. But on a more serious note, I'm certainly not a perfect eater, but I try to follow more of a carnivore diet. So, and I do intermittent fasting. So I don't eat after 7 p.m. I don't eat breakfast. I drink some coffee or water. So I don't eat till lunch. So I typically take 17 off, 7 on. Sometimes on the weekends, not so much. But most of the time, I just find that I'm less hungry when I don't eat breakfast. And for lunch, most days I'll eat a roast beef, or I will eat grass-fed burger without chips or anything like that, without the bun. Unless I had some good sourdough bread, I may eat it. And I'd put a little, if I wanted dessert, I'd put a little bit of raw local honey on it to make it taste good. Sometimes I will eat some rice or white new potatoes. Those are carbs, but again, everybody's a little different. I mean, I'm not one that puts weight on very easily. So I don't have to be as strict, because I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm trying to gain muscle. So the other thing I do is take Perfect Aminos, which have virtually no calories. And they're just, if you watch my podcast today, you probably want to order you some Perfect Aminos.
Along those lines,
there's 30 grams.
Rhonda's asking what brand?
That is the brand. It's okay. Called Perfect Aminos. I mean, they're widely sold on the internet. I like the scoop. I put it in one scoop in water and just drink it down every day. I put methylene blue in it as well. I'll drink it all together. It doesn't taste bad to me. But so I'll do that for lunch, usually some kind of meat. And also, believe it or not, I got turned on to raw grass-fed beef liver. So I will take a half ounce of that and just chug it down, you know, three to 4 days a week. It's the most nutritious food there is, in my opinion. So it just helps everything. There's all kinds of good stuff in it. It's actually way more nutritious than any fruit or vegetable that I know. I don't snack either anymore. You know, I used to snack a lot. I don't snack anymore. Remember, man was not made to graze. We were made to feast or fast. So for dinner, I like seafood. If I get chicken, you know, I try to get pastured chicken, which I eat occasionally. Steak, seafood. I love salmon. I just love salmon. So, and I found out one of my patients came in the other day and said that if you go to Food City, you know, or as you go in, pick out your fish that you want. They will cook it for you. They'll cook it for you right there and season it with Old Bay or whatever you want. And apparently it's great. I'm going to start doing that. You know, and so you tell them what you want. You pick your fresh seafood or fresh fish out, was tilapia or sea bass or any of it. You know, seafood. What's the other one that I really like? Walleye or whatever you can get that's fresh. And then you go shop for 10 minutes and then boom, you come back there and it's ready to take home and eat.
That's pretty cool.
Fool with making it. They steam it, but they're not frying it. So, and then I don't eat desserts like I used to, but then after supper, I'll walk around for 10 minutes to kind of, because if I don't, I'll sit down and read or watch the news, and sometimes I get a little drowsy. Yeah.
All right. Well, that I hope that helps.
And fruit. I'll eat some fruit, like the berries and things. I don't eat bananas or a lot of melons, mangoes, that type thing. All those, there's good vitamins in those too, but they seem to be higher on the glycemic index. So I tend to eat the berries more, maybe some apple chunks, maybe a little grapefruit. I hope that helps you. I'm not perfect on the eating, but I sure eat way better than I used to.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you said is really important, how, you know, everybody's got different goals. Everybody's body's a bit different. As you said, you're trying to gain right now. So it is interesting to figure out what works for each individual person. And I see, you know, Richard's asking, you know, what you had to eat and drink today. I hope that helped, Richard. And we'll keep talking about it because, I know people are interested. It's really, and it's a fun thing to talk about. Look, and Jack's hungry right now. Jack's, I'm hungry too.
Go eat some meat.
Get some meat. I think Bianca's asking, is the liver just as beneficial if we cook it? Katie might, have an answer, in the comments as well. You have any thoughts on that?
You may cook out a little bit of the nutrients if you cook it, but here's what you can do. You can soak it in a little bit of milk for 30 minutes to an hour and then just sear it. Just barely cook it. And here's what I do. I just take a half ounce and just swallow it. I don't taste it. I just swallow it, you know, just for the nutrition. I don't like liver to eat, but out of all the different types, there's all kinds of liver, of course, but I think beef liver is the best. As far as that goes, cook for just a minute on each side. Yeah. If you just can't stand letting it slide down your throat raw, and it needs to be grass fed. Remember that from a good local source. I get mine here in Kingsport, from, I think it's Lazy Tea Farms out on Bloomingdale Pike. They have great products, including, you know, really organic pastured eggs, and it's all grass fed stuff. And, even their chicken is really good. So,
all right, let's get to the next question here. We're getting ready to go to the live comments, guys. I know I'm running a tad bit late. This question is about a bad cold. For a lingering cough after a bad cold, my traditional PCP said take Delsum.
Delsum.
Do you have another idea? Delsum, it has food coloring and partially hydrogenated vegetable oil.
I don't really like Delsum much, but I don't like any of those over-the-counter cough solutions. Sometimes I use a prescription medicine called Tessalon Pearls. Those work pretty good without all the junk in them. They just quieten down a lingering cough. I mean, you may even consider an antihistamine, for that. And what was that? That brings something up. We got a question 2 weeks in a row about
Allergena. Yep.
Allergena. Yeah, I did look into that, and it was, of course, it's a homeopathic medication for allergies. And there's 9 different zones, apparently, in the United States. And so they kind of tailor it to where you live. And the zone 2, where we live in the southeastern United States, they have tiny bits that you couldn't even, see under a microscope or anything, of different types of trees and weeds and just common to that area. And, get some good reports. I've never tried it, and it's safe for sure. But the idea of homeopathy is to give you something that's like what you're allergic to. Mm. In opposition to traditional medicine, where we give something the opposite to cure it, you give a small amount with homeopathy with something that you have. So if you have allergies, you use all these different arrays of tiny bits of these homeopathic things like trees and goldenrod and ragweed. And it's quite an array of things. I think 45 different things that you can take, but you're not going to have a side effect, I don't think. It's not going to work like that. You need to give it a couple of weeks, but a lot of people like it. I mean, there is some very positive reviews on it. Certainly it may be worth it. Gosh, this spring allergies for people have been terrible.
In our area, it is rough.
So try an antihistamine for a lingering cough. Make sure you're not having any reflux with it. Sodium bicarbonate, baking soda may help you a little bit.
Katie's saying methylene blue as well. That's cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. We're going to get to the live questions here, guys. If you have a question for Doc, go ahead and put those in the comments. I hope I didn't miss anybody. If I did, I'll be sure to run back and get to it. You can either email me, ben@performancemedicine.net. I'm kind of watching that as well. Or you can just put in the comments. All right. I see, goodness, so many people are in here. This is amazing. Amber, I see you from Fountain City. If you've been to our Fountain City location, you've most certainly seen Amber. I see Tabitha's here from our Kingsport office. Got a whole bunch of the team is in here. A huge shout out to the Performance Medicine crew, who's with us live tonight. Of course, Katie and Carter in here, Montana. So pumped to see everybody. Can't wait to catch up with everybody in person. Here shortly. All right, let's get to some questions. Where am I at here? Let's get to Ray's question up on YouTube. After about 2 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with adhesive capsulitis, frozen shoulder, by my physical therapist. He gave me some exercises, but so far they don't seem to be helping. Anything else I might try? What's your thoughts for Ray?
Yeah, that can really be painful. They used to and still do, and some rare cases, take you to the OR, put you asleep, and just manipulate the heck out of your shoulder to break up all the adhesions. That turned out not to be the greatest therapy in the world, but I've still seen them use it recently. But, if the physical therapy is not helping you or is too painful to do, you might consider in some injections with PRP, platelet-rich plasma. That seems to help you. Obviously, probably try some anti-inflammatories. But yeah, it's just a lot of scar tissue in there. You know, I would probably get an MRI of my shoulder, which I had a couple of years ago, just to make sure that nothing's torn, that your labrum's intact, you don't have a rotator cuff tear. I'm not even against, you know, a cortisone shot to kind of help you move it so you can do the therapy. But if it gets bound up, it's a tough one. Hopefully you don't have to end up getting surgery for it. But try that. Cortisone shot, maybe PRP shot. Keep working with the physical therapy. You may even try some local things like CBD ointments, heat alternating with ice, serrapeptase, like we talked about, maybe. Curcumin is good. But don't give up. Keep working on it. Maybe consider an injection.
Ray, thank you so much for that question. Keep us posted with how things are going with that. I know that's,
you know, one thing that really helped my shoulder, Ben, was hanging from my chin-up bar. Just hanging there.
Yep.
And then I do these Codman exercises where I take a, you know, 30, 40-pound weight and just lean over and just do circles with it. That seems to help me a lot. I mean, anybody that's certainly my age has done a lot of physical activity, weightlifting, tennis, you're going to have some shoulder problems.
Yeah, and I think you've also, we talked to our friends at TriStar around, you know, it's tough when you have an injury like that. You tend to not do anything with it, and then it makes it worse. I know you had to, you know, you weren't doing push-ups for a long time, and you know, then you just started
2 years.
You just started to do
them. I couldn't do one push-up for 2 years.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, I worked with Ernie, and he really helped me through it.
Yeah,
and sometimes some of the things he did, it hurt a little bit, but now it's good. So
super interesting. Thanks for that question, Ray. I want to put this up from Coal Miner's Daughter on YouTube. In regards to the migraine question, is a thoughtful comment. So thank you. I have a vestibular migraine. Vitamin D, magnesium, and B12 helped me some with the brain fog. Also found my food triggers. Cool. Yeah. It's all about not going over migraine threshold for me. Meds did not work for me. Super interesting. Thank you for putting that in there. All
awesome.
Right. Let's get to next question here. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, Donald, we had a couple questions around this. We answered that in the segment before. Anything in particular that you didn't mention that you ate today that might be helpful here?
Oh, I don't eat breakfast. I had roast beef for lunch and a few small, those new white potatoes that were pretty low on the glycemic index for a potato. I drink water and I like black coffee, one or two cups. And I actually ate shrimp for dinner. And I had a little bacon. I usually don't eat a lot of bacon, but for some reason I did tonight. And I actually had a little bit of sourdough bread with a little local honey on it. But I don't eat as much as I used to eat. I'll be honest with you. Mostly what I drink is water. I just don't drink a lot else. I don't even drink tea much anymore. It just runs right through me. You know, there's a lot of benefits by drinking teas, but I just can't do it. But so I drink a lot. Try to drink a lot of water. That's a great comment. I know you're a health nut too, and you probably do way better than I do. Everybody's a little I'm just mostly I eat more of a carnivore diet.
Are you like
I told you, the second episode of mild COVID really got to my gut.
Yeah,
and that I think the carnivore diet really helped me a lot.
Are you actively trying to eat more? Because what I'm kind of hearing from you is that, you know, you're less hungry now than you used to be. But I know, you know, personally that you are trying to put on some weight. Is that meaning that you're you're eating more, you're eating even when you're not hungry, that sort of thing?
No, I don't eat when I'm not hungry. I just don't do that. I don't think it's a good idea. But when I'm hungry, I eat.
You try to
feast. I'm trying to get more protein in, to be honest with you. You get 68 years old, you need more protein. You know, like I said in the podcast today, most people don't eat enough protein. Sometimes I'll eat eggs, but not for breakfast because I just don't eat breakfast anymore.
I think the protein, we're getting some comments around that protein video. Thank you guys for watching that. It's something that I know you haven't talked a ton about, but we're probably going to start talking more about, because a lot of what, you know, we talk about on the Common Sense MD is stuff that you're actively working on yourself. And, you know, I know you're trying to consume more, and that was kind of the big theme, was the importance of getting enough protein.
Lose muscle as you age, and you need to build muscle.
Yeah. Let's get to Deborah here, on Facebook. Got any suggestions to help with TMJ issues, especially pain with eating?
Yeah. First of all, go to your dentist to make sure your alignment's right with your teeth. That's the most common cause of TMJ is malalignment of the teeth. You know, and avoid chewing a lot. Of course, you shouldn't chew gum or anything that may, you know, be hard to chew up. You can try curcumin. One thing that we do that I think helps a lot is Botox. You know, I put Botox right in that masseter muscle right there, and it really relaxes that muscle, tends to help TMJ a lot. So you might consider that if nothing else helps. The dentist is not helping you. You may grind your teeth at night, bruxism. It may, you know, give you something to bite down on at night, night guard. But if nothing else is working, including anti-inflammatories, and I'll think about Botox in that area. It really works. Doesn't hurt either.
Thank you, Deborah, for that. That's super. I know TMJ, like a lot more people have TMJ than you'd think. So thank you for putting that in there, Deborah. I'm going to get to Kathy's question. How do you feel about natokinase for long COVID, and what's included in your current treatment protocol? And I'm assuming that's talking about long COVID. What's your thoughts on
that? I like natokinase. I put some money on it today. They couldn't tolerate aspirin. So it's just a good natural blood thinner. And COVID is a blood clotting disease. So that's definitely in the protocol if you can't take an 81 milligram aspirin. There's so many different ways I approach the long COVID depending on the symptoms. But of course, I still use what I call ice cream.
for the OGs in the crowd tonight, you know what ice cream means.
It's that parasite drug, you know. But so I use that. And the reason I'm not saying that's for fear of censure, like we've been before, but I do that. Definitely the vitamin protocol. A lot of it depends on the symptoms. Sometimes I use steroids if I have to. I certainly use high dose vitamins. And there's a couple things that I use kind of outside the box. One of them is LDN, low dose naltrexone, and methylene blue. They work wonderful for that. And as far as this stuff goes, pretty much run the mill vitamin protocol that we use with D, C, zinc. If you have POTS syndrome, we treat it a little bit differently. If you have gut problems, sometimes we'll look into that a little bit more with I like Digest Shield, of course, for anybody, but especially with long COVIDs, because it can certainly get into your gut like it did in mine. Mm-hmm. We kind of tailor it to what's going on with you, but certainly you need a blood thinner. And if you can't take aspirin, natokinase is a really good one. Used it today. Serapeptase is another one.
Super interesting. Thank you for that, Kathy. I'm going to put this up. This is a comment from Rich. I love when people are putting in things that are working for them. So thank you, Rich, for this. I hear very positive results for those having a cardiac event to take a shot of apple cider vinegar and 1/8 teaspoon of cayenne pepper powder. So super interesting.
Those are two good nutrients. And if you're having a cardiac event, go to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, and also they use... chew up a full aspirin and get to the hospital if you're having a cardiac event.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Rich, for that. Lisa, I see you in here. Thank you so much for sharing the broadcast here. I'm going to put this up from Tracy. Testosterone level was 11. I'll feel like a new woman when it gets to 100. Super cool. I hope that helps. Let's see here. Thank you for the
comment. If you get it to, you know, 200, 300, 400, you'll feel like a man. So even better. I'm just kidding, Tracy. But yeah, testosterone is the one hormone, male or female, that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's get to this question from my man, Roel. Doctor, have you used, ever used resistance rice? Sometimes we cook rice in the refrigerator and eat it in the next day. They say it won't spike insulin so much. Any thoughts on this?
That's true. You know, my daughter, Kelly, who's a type 1, she's done that. It's very true. There's some carbohydrates that won't spike you so much. Kind of like a banana, a green banana will not spike your sugar. A ripe one will. So, a lot of people do that, especially the diabetics. And you can check your sugars, wear a Freestyle Libre and see. But that's a good comment. Really good comment.
I'm going to put this up from Jack here. Tessalon Pearls works great. That was mentioned to the coughing question. Thank you, Jack, for that comment there. I'm going to get to another comment from Mark here. Studies show freezing sourdough bread can reduce glycemic index by much as 37%. If you lightly toast after freezing, it will reduce glycemic index even more. That's interesting.
Man. Well, Mark, that sourdough bread you brought – me was fantastic. Thank
That's
you.
Awesome. That is awesome. Thank you for the comment there, Mark. Let's see here. If I have any more questions, let's get to Candy. Do you think LMNT drink mix breaks a fast? That's a great question, actually. So LMNT is a powder. I love it. It has like potassium, sodium. It has like everything you would want.
It's just an electrolyte drink, isn't it? Or
yeah, but super
powder.
Healthy. It's very like no sugar.
I don't think it will. I don't think it'll break a fast.
That's it. What would break your fast?
It would.
Is it anything that raises your blood sugar?
Yeah, anything that raises your blood sugar and makes you quit putting ketones out. But I don't think so.
Interesting.
I don't think it will. You know, you can always check a glucometer or Freestyle and see. You can even have a ketone meter and see if it would.
Super interesting. Thank you for that, Candy. I love LMNT. I don't think, if you guys have any more questions, be sure to put them in. I don't know if I've missed anybody. I'm going through everything. I got so many kind comments for Andy. Andy did amazing. Thank you for putting that in there, Stan. There we go. Look at Jordan. That is incredible. Great work, team, for getting that quickly up there for us. That is incredible, Jordan. Congratulations. Huge shout out to Jordan, who's lost 70 pounds on Ozempic. Thank you. Thank you, team, for putting that in there. That's super cool. And thank you, Jordan, for sharing the success. If you have success stories, put them in the comments. People need that encouragement. We're all in this together, and that's what this show is all about. So huge shout out to Jordan there, and thank you for
awesome. Congrats.
For putting that before and after in there. Okay, let's see. I don't think I've missed anybody. Gosh, it's just been so nice to be back with you guys. Pop, it's been fun to get back in the swing of things with you today.
I missed a beat. You're still as good as ever.
How do you think we did?
I'd give you a 10.
I think you were a 10.
I don't know about that.
Are we giving us a 10?
I'll give you a 10.
Yeah. Let's get to Allison. We got to live up to the 10 now. Allison put in a question. What would be an appropriate testosterone level in a woman that'll allow the great benefits? Okay. Of testosterone.
Gosh, I love 80 to 100, even higher. If you know, you'll know if you're having too much, because if you had too much, you could get acne or hair growth. But that's generally, I like it around 100, to be honest with you. Hey, we've got some dogs coming.
We got the dogs coming in.
I almost forgot about them. Here's my little girl.
Look at this. Look at Izzy. Nurse Izzy.
She's getting big.
She's getting big. I'm going to see her
Fluffy.
Thursday, I believe. She is getting fluffy, and she's growing up right before our eyes.
Yeah, she is. She's a sweet guy.
Cherry's saying we did a 10. We got a 10 from Cherry. 10,
thank you.
That is awesome. Kathy's saying
Mr. Beach, you're great.
She loves the ice cream. Linda, shout out to Ernie Dixon, the best PT in the world. I agree.
For sure.
Totally
agree.
Amazing.
He's a healer. Ernie's a healer, and he's also probably the nicest person you'll ever meet. If anybody's met anybody nicer than Ernie, I want to hear about it.
D. Lynn's saying that she's not eating raw meat. So Katie, I don't think we're going to get D. Lynn on the raw beef liver train.
Yeah, it took a leap of faith for me to do that, but it hadn't bothered me. But that's probably the only type I would eat, believe me.
I love it.
It hasn't bothered me.
I absolutely love it. Look at Izzy. She's all about the broadcast, taking away the shine from Ike there. Carter's loving the healthy, happy hair. That's the brand new product we have of the Dr. Rogers formulas right there. Thank you, Carter, for putting that in there. Healthy, happy hair. I just love the name of it. I think that's so darn
good. Ben, talking about healthy hair, do you have some kind of product in your hair tonight?
Yeah.
It looks like product.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did
you're
it up a little
GQ-ish
bit.
Jewish tonight.
Thank you.
Let me get Ike in here. Somebody can say good night to Ike. Come in.
Steve's saying Ike and Izzy both tens. I agree. They're amazing. They close it. For those new, they close out the show for us.
Ike's getting heavy though. Ike's a big boy.
Allison, thank you so much. That's huge. So sweet. Thank you. Look at
I'm glad you're home, Ben.
Look at Ike. Dr. Ike is in the building.
I call him a Shaggy DA. He looks shaggy, doesn't he?
Does he love the camera as much as Izzy?
No. Ike's kind of on the shy side. He couldn't care less about the camera.
All right, guys, we're going to call it a show. Thank you to Ike and Izzy for closing us out. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us this evening. We do this show every single Tuesday evening at 7. I'm going to put this up one more time. If anybody is around in office, these are specials going up May 8th through the 12th. We'll be posting these throughout the next week or so as we head into May. I cannot believe it's almost May. All right. We're going to rock it out, guys. Thank you. I love you. Man. Thank you for everybody for being with us tonight. Thank you to Andy for last week for doing an amazing job hosting with Pop here. Katie, Carter, the whole crew helped out last week. Mom, thank you. Doc, love you, man.
Love you, too.
I'll see you Thursday.
All right.
We're out. Where's the outro?
Don't go away.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.